Thank you, board.
Thank you. Was it two case? All right, case number 10, 22-475. Waterbury. Nancy, he was late, right?
Yes.
But she might need to, yeah, have.
Oh, okay. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm as the case may be that the evidence you shall give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or on penalties of perjury?
Yes.
And you heard my little remarks. You're going to be entitled to an opening statement as well as a closing statement. And you kind of see how the order we're going. So brief opening statements, then we'll go back and forth between the cases. You'll be able to ask questions to the other side. Okay? Okay, Sergeant, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Sure. Sergeant Kenneth Kerouac, K-E-R-O-A-C-K, Waterbury Police Department, representing Chief Fernando Spagnuolo. And to my left is Waterbury Police Officer Brian, B-R-I-A-N, O'Toole, O apostrophe T-O-O-L-E.
Thank you very much for the spelling. I know I slept on that, Nancy, so I apologize.
Yes, sure, I'll figure it out.
Sergeant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. The appellant applied to the Waterbury Police Department October 5th, 2021. She was denied for suitability on November 25th, 2021 for an incident that occurred on March 8th, 2017 at the parking lot of the Waterbury Home Depot, where she left her infant child in a vehicle unattended while she went inside the store. Since her denial, she was arrested by the Waterbury Police Department on April 27, 2023 for falsely reporting an incident second degree. She is currently awaiting disposition in Waterbury GA4 for that charge. The appellant has a history of poor judgment and lack of responsibility, which the issuing authority believes makes her unsuitable. I will present these incidents in detail to support our denial.
Okay, ma'am, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Based on what the officer presented, I did make poor decisions, which I did learn from, and I'm just moving forward and just trying to better the situation from my past and current mistakes.
Is your case still pending? Okay, so you heard what I said before to the last appellant.
It's pending to be thrown out.
Oh, is it an AR case? Accelerated rehabilitation or?
Like, I followed up with everything that our judge appointed me to do, so my next court date is just to see that.
Okay.
I stayed out of trouble.
Regardless of what you're scheduled for, anything you say here can be used against you in that case. You understand that?
Okay.
Okay. All right, Sergeant, you may proceed.
On April 27th, 2023, Waterbury Police Officer was dispatched to the appellant's residence where the appellant wanted to make a complaint about a hit-and-run accident involving a Hoffman BMW loaner vehicle that she was responsible for. She told the investigating officer the hit-and-run occurred in the St. Mary's parking lot. The investigating officer noticed in his report that the loaner vehicle had a large BMW sticker on the rear windshield, and there was, according to his report, heavy scratches and gouges to the entire passenger side of the BMW. The investigating officer responded to St. Mary's Hospital and spoke to a security guard who assisted with providing video surveillance. The investigating officer observed video surveillance of the appellant's loaner vehicle entering the parking lot on South Elm Street at 1:55 p.m. The BMW backs into a parking spot, the second space from the end next to South Elm Street. No vehicles were observed on the passenger side of the BMW. The operator, the appellant, is observed exiting the BMW, walking approximately 20 feet towards South Elm Street, towards the hospital side. The appellant then turns around, walks back towards the BMW, and stands at the passenger side near the rear of the BMW for approximately 7 seconds, looking at the passenger side of the vehicle. She is then observed walking back towards St. Mary's Hospital. At 2:07 p.m., a silver SUV is observed coming into the parking lot, backing into the vacant parking space to the passenger side of the BMW. At 2:08 p.m., the appellant is observed walking back into the parking lot to the BMW, where she walks to the passenger side of the vehicle back and forth and appears to be talking to the operator of the silver SUV. Part of this investigation, she makes a claim that she doesn't know if this silver SUV hits her, and then she makes a claim that there's some lady sitting down near there with a bag in her hand, which will be important later. At 2:11 p.m., it's apparent that the appellant is on her phone. Dispatch advised the appellant called in the hit-and-run complaint at 2:14 p.m. At no time did the investigating officer observe the appellant speaking to another person in the parking lot carrying a bag, as she had claimed while she spoke to the officer. After viewing the video evidence, the investigating officer responded back to the appellant's residence to follow up with the investigation. She was advised that video evidence proved there was no accident that took place at the St. Mary's parking lot. She was also advised that video evidence contradicted her statements about her not knowing about the damage to the passenger side of the BMW, as she was seen in the video looking at the passenger side for 7 seconds when she initially got out of her vehicle. The appellant then stated that she did not see the damage and that the accident did not occur at Waterbury Hospital, so she changed her story there. She stated she had no idea where it had happened. Extensive surveillance footage of the downtown camera showed the BMW was parked in the parking lot on Kendrick Ave, which is in close proximity to the hospital, about a few blocks away. When the appellant walks to the parked BMW at 1:50 p.m., she walks behind the vehicle, past the driver's side, and appears to walk along the passenger side as if she was inspecting the vehicle. The appellant gets into the BMW and drives away at 1:51 p.m. As the vehicle leaves the parking lot, the damage to the passenger side is visible. As a result of the appellant's false report of an incident, she was arrested for falsely reporting an incident. For the next incident, Officer Brian O'Toole, to my left of the Waterbury Police Department, will provide testimony about a March 8, 2017 incident that occurred at the parking lot of the Waterbury Home Depot, where the appellant left her infant child in a vehicle unattended while she was inside the store. Officer, have you been sworn in, and do you understand you are under oath?
Yes.
What agency are you currently employed with, and what is your current assignment?
I'm currently employed with the Waterbury, Connecticut Police Department in the capacity of police officer, patrolman.
How long have you been employed by the Waterbury Police Department?
18 years.
Were you working with the Waterbury Police Department on or about March 8, 2017?
Yes.
Do you recall an incident involving the appellant on this date?
Yes.
Could you please provide details of that incident?
So on that date, I was dispatched to the parking lot of the Home Depot located at 575 Bank Street. A report of a child that was in a vehicle unattended, with the vehicle being locked by the store security. Upon arrival, I met up with the security, who pointed out the vehicle, which was a green BMW. Got the license plate. But first, along with my backup officer, we canvassed around locally in that general vicinity without taking eyes off the vehicle, of course, to see if the owner of the vehicle or operator of the vehicle was around. Didn't find anybody, so we had the personnel from the store announced that there was a vehicle with a child unattended, at which time the appellant emerged and stated it was her vehicle and that was her child. She said she was in the store for only about a minute, but upon review of the cameras and the dispatch times, it was determined that it was 16 minutes or more. By the time she was observed through the camera footage of going into the store, by the time officers responded. As a result, because of the length of time, I placed her under arrest for risk of injury to a minor. She was transported to police headquarters for our booking. While on scene, the child's father was contacted and responded, and we placed the child in custody of the father.
I just have a few questions of the officer. Do you remember how old the child was at the time?
I believe the child was around 2.5 years old.
And you confirmed through video surveillance that the child was left unattended no less than 16 minutes? Is that accurate?
Yes.
In your decision to arrest risk of injury, do you know if that's a felony or a misdemeanor?
It's a felony.
Could you describe the character immediately surrounding the Home Depot store in Waterbury?
There's a high volume of a lot of violent crimes, to include but not limited to things such as sexual assault, robberies, things such as theft from motor vehicles, which I just had there. There were 3 motor vehicles with their vehicles smashed in, the windows and items taken. There's also a known criminal gang headquartered there right across the street, the Outlaws Motorcycle Club. Directly across the street, right behind Home Depot, is Jewelry Street, which is a known street with high volume of drugs, prostitution, and the like.
Could you describe the character of the actual Home Depot store and parking lot?
The character is maybe a little less than what the surrounding is. However, we do get a lot of drug use, drug overdoses in the bathrooms, in the parking lots, of which I currently actually do extra duty there for, twice a week. I just had 2 overdoses and motor vehicle break-ins while I'm there, walking around the parking lot and inside the Home Depot itself.
So is it accurate to say that Home Depot hires police officers because of the high crime and it being an unsafe area?
Yes, they not only do they hire police officers, but they also hire private security and they'll additionally put more cameras outside the business.
So just to summarize, this is a very unsafe place.
Yes, I agree.
That's all I have.
Ma'am, do you have any questions to the officer or sergeant, either one of those? No. Does the board have questions?
Temperature that day? What was the temperature that day? Was the child in danger of overheating, or is this an issue of?
I don't believe it was.
It was April.
Overheating. It was a mild temperature. It was actually a nice day, if I can remember correctly. No high heat or low.
Yeah, I would assume if it was 95 or 100 degrees out there and there was a 2-year-old in the car, you probably would have forced entry into the car first.
I would agree. That was an option until until she arrived outside.
Right, thank you.
So Chief, to answer your question, I actually did look up the temperature that day. That was a consideration. I can't remember my exact source, but it listed historical weather for any town or city. It was 56 degrees that day. At that time, between it breaks into 2-hour segments, it was noon to 2, 56 degrees is what it said.
Yeah, so basically, in my opinion, it's reasonable to start not bothering a child, looking around, trying to find a way to a parent or someone to take care of the child before forcing in. However, if it were 95, 100 degrees, you had no idea how long the child was in there, they might have forced entry, and that's why I asked.
Just to add to that, I mean, upon viewing the child did appear uninjured and healthy and good spirits, that was my observation, so.
Thanks.
Other questions? Is the vehicle running?
No.
other one?
I just have one. No, I have no more witnesses for that incident. I have just one more incident to present.
Oh, sure.
While I usually don't use infraction history as a term of factor, but I think this ties into judgment. On July 30th, 2016, the appellant was involved in a motor vehicle accident with injuries where she was operating a vehicle without a license. She was issued an infraction for operating a motor vehicle without a license, and the disposition on that infraction was guilty.
Is that it, Sergeant?
That's it.
And no other questions from anybody? Ma'am, what town do you live in?
One.
All right. It's your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
So, I'd like to address the... I'd like to address the infraction he speaks of. My husband got sickle cell. So on that night, which I remember, it was raining and it was dark. And we drove to the gas station to get gas. And he had crisis. So at that time, his mom, which my kids were at, lived on Welton. From Hamilton, it's just like a couple of blocks. So he was like, I'm in crisis. I'm aware I didn't have a license, but I figured for him to drive and he's in pain, I know how to drive. I'm from New York. I'm not aware of the danger of Home Depot, as he mentioned. But I figured if I can drive a couple of blocks to the house, get him inside till the next day. And then at that time, we lived in Bridgeport. So I was like, because he made it aware, like, I'm experiencing crisis, I was like, get on the passenger side, I would take over, we'll drive to the house, and we'll leave in the morning instead of leave during the night because he's the licensed driver. Within that time when I took over the wheel and I was leaving out of the gas station, another car coming in from Hamilton, I'm not too sure of the streets, but he was speeding, and I was already in motion, and I got scared. I braked. We collide. Police came on scene. I admit that I didn't have a license, so I was responsible for, you know, the whole situation that played out. So that is what I was like, okay, I am wrong for that, but I wasn't expecting an accident to happen just like that. With him being in crisis, I'm just trying to get back to the house. As far as the Home Depot situation, as I stated, we lived in Bridgeport at the time, and we was living in housing. I got four kids, but at that time I had three. My child that was in the car, he was a baby. We just got evicted out of my mom's apartment. We just got evicted out of my mom's apartment because they had found out that we was John Doe's in the apartment because of family issues. My husband's family, they brought attention. So we was asked to leave. The day that we left, it was a snowstorm. We own a house in Waterbury. But at the time, we was staying in my mom's apartment in Bridgeport to fix our multi-property that wasn't livable. So things happened, domino effect. We was asked to leave. We tried to go into a shelter, snowstorm, no one would take us. So the one shelter was like, I'm sorry, we don't have no beds. So at that point, me and my husband, we made the decision to go into our house. We own it, we have access to it. I brought my kids, which his mom at the time was living on Mountain, brought the kids there because it was very cold. I remember that, it was very cold. This was my birthday was in March. This was in February. So it was very cold. We brought and we went into the house. During that time, I called upon family and friends to help us because the house that we bought it through the sales tax. So it was a fixer-upper. No windows, no, not, I don't know. We just bought it because we have kids and it was just like, we wanted to break that chain of, we wanted to leave our kids something, like half asset versus debt. So that's why we got the house. It was very cheap at that time, 2014, we bought the house. but we wasn't expecting to move in as soon as we did. So I called upon family. My mom said, hey, my mom and my brother was like, hey, go to Home Depot, find out how much is a window, a list. So I was like, okay, my baby is not even a year. He wasn't a year. He was born December 16, 2015. So when that incident took part, he wasn't even a year yet. So between being a mother for the third time, getting evicted, having younger kids, being in this apartment, I grabbed my new board, I'm sorry, and I went to Home Depot. When I pulled into the parking lot, I looked back and my son was sleeping. So I was just like, in that time, I knew it wasn't a good decision, but I was just like, hey, maybe if I could just run in here, get these prices and run out, no harm, no foul. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I heard the announcement. I recognized, I knew the license plate. That was like the vehicle I was driving. And I came out and it was just a bunch of people. And I was just like, I wasn't gone for long. Like, in my mind, I was just like, I wasn't gone for long. There was so much going on. It was just a bad decision, but it was just a domino effect. So I was like, I wasn't going for long. That wasn't my plan. I love all my kids. I don't do anything to put them in harm. Have I made wrong decisions? Yes. But it was never intentional, never to hurt anyone. Unfortunately, that was my 30th birthday, so I spent my 30th birthday in jail. And then having to go through that process, got a DCF case. The DCF lady, she came. She saw what me and my husband was working on. She saw we was trying. I have no family in Waterbury. We're from New York. So it's like, we're just trying. And the DCF lady, she understood. All my kids had beds. We try to put in heat. We try to put in light. I don't know nothing about being a homeowner. I live in buildings, concrete. Anything is wrong, we call the super. So all of this is new. All of that was new. Being a mother, again, newborn, husband that's sickly. So I made an irrational decision, but I worked on it. The incident that he's speaking about with that's pending recently, another incident where I just switched my job and I just started a new job. And my car was giving problems, so I brought my car into BMW to get fixed. They gave me a loaner, and I'm at work. As he stated, this is all around my work hours. I'm at work. I took my break. I came home. I came out of the building, and I discovered my car is damaged. I don't know how it was damaged, but I go into a panic mode because it's like, I just started my job. I don't know if it happened on my job. I don't want nothing to cause me to mess up my 6-month probation. And instead of reporting that it happened there to bring attention to me, which I didn't want, I drove up the street to St. Mary's. Wrong decision. The reporting officer, when I reported it, he didn't come to the house until like 2:00 in the morning. So I just said it happened in St. Mary's. I know it didn't happen in St. Mary's. He made me aware it didn't happen in St. Mary's. And I admit, like, I don't know what happened, but this is why I made the decision I made, which it still ended up where I had to financially do an deductible and get arrested again. I don't get into problems. My only reason why I applied for my gun permit, as he stated, Waterbury's high on crime. I have video footage of people breaking into my house because I have since put up cameras. They break into my house, they break into my car. So it's like, I want to educate not only myself, but I want to educate my kids, not to shoot someone, but to know, to be in defense, how to protect yourself. The crime rate is crazy. The drug affiliation, the crackheads, everything is crazy. Unfortunately, we didn't know the neighborhood we picked when we bought the house. We just knew
hey, we got a house for under 10 grand. It's a multifamily. It's something we can eventually live in, move out, rent out, and have that as a passive income to help us moving forward. So I'm just like, I want to get my permit pistol to just educate not only myself, but to educate my kids. My brother is in the Marines. So a lot of my experience on shooting is when I went to North Carolina, and he's teaching me from what he learned. And I learned a lot, so I was just like, well, let me go back and see if this is something I can obtain to continue learning in Waterbury. And that's what I did until I'm here now explaining it to you guys. That's it.
Sergeant?
I think you might touch on it. I don't know if I caught it. What was the reason that you went to Home Depot?
I went to Home Depot to get a list of stuff that was needed on the house. Like just the price range. So my family can then, they wanted to Western Union the money to me so we can obtain those things.
I have my thoughts.
Board, have any questions?
Are you living in that residence currently, ma'am?
Yes, we're still living in the residence, still working on it. Mm-hmm. But right now, our floor is doable. It's just every materials and the project is just high, so I'm still currently there.
It's a multifamily house, so you're planning on restoring the other units to rent
yes,
out?
Yes, I had, a year ago, we just redid a quarter of the roof, which was like 15K, and it was just a quarter. So it's just like we're learning as we're going through it, mm-hmm. the prices of it. We're learning like loans, or we try to go about loans, but we gotta I've been working on my credit, maintaining my credit, just things that to get us out of the scenario that we're in.
And are you currently employed at this time, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Is it with that same employer that you were with before, or somebody new?
I'm currently employed with the city. Mm-hmm. So at that time, it was just like, I don't wanna screw this up. Like, I got a good position, I got a good job, I didn't want to screw it up. So I didn't want any, what I was trying to avoid is exactly what happened, so that's.
And what's your understanding about the disposition of the 2023 case?
So he said to me that I had to do volunteering work, which I did. I volunteered at a nonprofit organization, Urban Fresh. I like gardening and just the fact of growing stuff. So I volunteered there, I got my son to be employed there. And I helped out during the summer when it was warm and just learned a lot about the whole process. And then I had to submit a letter like to the courts that I did my 16 hours. Mm-hmm. And I did that part, so it was like as long as from the time of that court date to the one I have coming up in December, if I stay out of trouble, they'll throw it out, mm-hmm. which I haven't gotten into any mischiefs or trouble at all.
Thank you.
Other questions? Ms. Trump?
So the 2023 incident that's still active in court, that was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting here in tears because of all of the pressure and stuff that you have going on.
It became emotional when he brought up the Home Depot, mm-hmm. because it was like postpartum, going into a house that's not done, have kids. So it was like, I knew what I did was wrong. But at the moment, I just made the judgment like, I'm gonna go in, get these prices, and come out so my family can send the money that I need to make it more of what we're used to a home is supposed to be. So that's the only reason why it became like I'm emotional, because it's like never my intentions to ever hurt or harm or put my kids in any harm.
Okay, but my question is, like, it was 6 months ago when you lied to the police.
Right.
And my reading of the disposition is that it's been referred to adult probation, according to what I'm reading here.
The only request they gave me was to volunteer for 16 hours for a nonprofit. I'm not sure why they worded the way they did, but when I went back to the probation, she said I have to sign up with a nonprofit organization of my choice and have them write a letter stating that I complete those 16 hours. And I did that, and I presented it.
But it seems like your home is still in kind of flux. You still have an active court case. It doesn't, your situation seems rather chaotic still at this point.
My situation from that point,
which was 6 months ago, which is still,
that 6 months case was about the car being hit.
Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the theory that you don't want to report where it actually happened.
I didn't, honestly, that was my thought. I'm like, I'm in probation. I didn't want anything to jeopardize or cause me to lose this job that I just got. So I know it may not seem like it makes sense, but those were my thought process that I can jeopardize losing my job. So I decided to report it that it took place somewhere else.
You understand my concern where we had introducing a gun into any situation has a decision-making process that is beyond, should I tell the police where a crime actually took place or not? This is life and death. You understand my concern?
Honestly, I hear your concern, but I don't see how you're like connecting the two if you don't want to elaborate.
Under pressure, you made a wrong decision 6 months ago.
Right.
And we're still determining whether the court sees that it was a one-off or something more.
Based on the judge, I complied with his rules, so I don't see how my case wouldn't be closed.
But it's still active, as we sit here right now.
Yeah, it is active because it has an upcoming court date in mm-hmm. December to make that decision that have I been in trouble since then.
It just makes me nervous that you made a very bad judgment 6 months ago and you're asking us to trust you in making harder decisions with a firearm.
My request in asking for your approval is only just on the educational purpose wise. A lot of deficits occur because a lot of people don't know how to use a gun or don't know the procedures to avoid a situation or defuse a situation. So just me going and taking those classes, I learned a lot more just instead of self-taught, I was able to learn a lot more that I didn't know, which I speak to my oldest kids about. Just educating them to avoid, not even as far, take the gun out of the situation. Just any altercation that can lead into fight, violence, stab. Like, I'm learning, so I'm teaching them what I'm learning so they can know when they're out there on their own, like I'm out here on my own, how to defend yourself, how to react, what to do.
And I can appreciate that. But getting a permit and then backtracking the education is not the way. I highly encourage you to continue your education in defense and proper defense and proper decision making. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'll leave it, Ms. Chad.
Could I ask some additional questions?
Yes.
Ma'am, how long have you been at your current position?
Since April.
Of this year. And that's with the City of Waterbury?
Yes. Okay.
Have you had any performance appraisals during that period of time?
The City of Waterbury, I don't believe they do performance appraisals. Mm-hmm. It's more of you can transfer to a different department.
Have you had meetings with the person who supervises you and got any feedback from your supervisor?
I honestly just had a meeting with her uh-huh. about my performance and it was all positive stuff, like words of encouragement to the path that I'm on. Just keep going, continue, you know.
And then you have four children currently?
Yes, correct.
And could you tell me something about your children from the oldest down?
My oldest is a boy. He'll be 13 on the 7th. Mm-hmm. He's doing great in school. All my kids are doing great in school.
Do they attend public school in Waterbury?
Yes, they attend public schools. They're doing great. I just keep open communication with them. I know what it is to be in school. We all been in school and what it is to be amongst peers. So I just try to like communicate with them on things to like the like if you face a situation, what not to do, mm-hmm. or another objective to do. Like my oldest son, I would say he gives a little bit of trouble because I feel like he's gone through that stage of like feeling like it's just him or he's being attacked. So I always like talk to him like, okay, instead of you look at it like this, look at it like this. Or how about you bring it to the teacher's attention or bring it to a counselor's attention on how you're feeling instead of acting it out. So I have, my kids, they don't give me any trouble.
Do you have the 13-year-old
13,
son.
11, uh-huh. 8, and 4.
So the baby who was in the car is now 4 years old?
No, the baby that was in the car is 8.
It's 8? Oh,
yes,
okay. And then you had another child?
Yeah, and then I had another child.
And is your husband still with you?
Yes.
And is his, I hope his health is stabilized?
Well, he would have been with me, but his crisis is acting up.
Well, hopefully now with this new CRISPR-related medication for treating sickle cell, people with sickle cell disease might be able to have that fixed. It's a new treatment that I was just reading about in the clinical literature. Very, very exciting because that's been a terrible disease,
yeah.
Primarily affecting people of color. Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
I just have one. If you got your permit today and you had a gun, what would you do with it in your house? How would you store it?
I'll buy a safe. And I'm not rushing to buy a gun. I'm more about taking the classes on how to use it. Like, but the first thing, what I will do before, if I choose or when I'm ready to buy a gun, is to buy a safe.
Do you know what the law is about storage of a firearm in a home?
To have it concealed, put away. I'm not too sure on the law, but I do know, like, have it in a safe place. So that's why I would choose to buy a safe first with a code that the kids can't get into or they can't have access to at all.
Okay. You do need to make sure you understand the law. And mostly for the safety of children. So.
Other questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses? No? Would you like to make a closing statement?
I just, with everything else being said, I hope that you guys make a reasonable decision. And it's just something I can learn from. And I appreciate it.
Thank you. Sergeant.
Yeah, when the issuing authority has the responsibility to prove suitability, we really only know what comes into us. In other words, what's reported to the police. If we couldn't help but notice these three incidents. Obviously, one, we hinged our case mostly on the Home Depot incident. So we have to look into suitability and make sure there's no serious mental health issues, good judgment, responsibility, and security. Security can go multiple ways, obviously the way you store it, the way you're handling it out in the public. This Home Depot incident, while in 2017, there's nothing more critical and important than the care of an infant child. Just keep in mind that this was 16 minutes at a minimum. She didn't go into the store because she was out of baby formula, because she needed water, she needed food. She was price shopping for home improvement. Had the security officer not rolled by, saw the infant unattended in that vehicle, and called the Waterbury Police Department, we could speculate, could it have been 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe an hour? You're price shopping. And she had a list of multiple things as she testified here. I don't know how that baby's security the responsibility, the decision-making, the judgment of that incident. I mean, if you can't display those characteristics with your own infant, I just, the issuing authority has zero confidence that she would be a suitable gun owner to carry in public or to buy weapons. I applaud her for all her efforts, and I certainly applaud her struggle. I really hope she continues down that path. She's working. I mean, I can certainly understand the economic situation, and she's working on it. I applaud her for that. I just believe at this time, there really hasn't been a behavior change. She just lied to us 6 months ago. I mean, that's a simple, hey, have some integrity. Make a good decision. I made a mistake. Yep, it was a BMW loaner. I don't want to take the hit for it. But you know what? It was my decision. I made a mistake. I damaged the vehicle. Instead, she lied to us, wasted numerous hours of investigative time that we could have been doing other major crimes. I hope I presented my case to the board, and I hope that you rule in favor of the issuing authority.
Thank you, Sergeant. Comments by the board?
I'll go ahead. I got one. I think the appellant presented well. Seemed very honest. Very difficult to talk about these things. They're not things you're proud of, but I think you did a good job of that. But as the issuing authority said, that responsibility and decision making is important. We were talking about the 2017 incident, as bad as that is, and significant time had passed. I think, you know, there may be other decisions, but now we have a brand new incident of poor judgment within this year. So that's problematic, but I do applaud all the effort you're taking. You seem to be on the right track. I don't know if you're gonna get your permit today or not, but you know, good for you for doing that.
Other comments?
I'd say that definitely have a lot going on. We've had a few years of a lot of activity. And just like the chief said, to have a pending case and an incident with the local police department within 6 months, where integrity would be in question. Not sure what my peers on the board would say, but I would say you probably need some more time in between to shore up what you have going on, continue your journey, and get yourself in a better place.
Any other comments? All right, seeing none. Dr. Conrad.
If it had just been the 2016 and 2017 incident, I think I would have voted in your favor, but with the more recent one in April, I'm going to have to support the issuing authority at this time, but I urge you to continue on your pathway. It's been a difficult one, but congratulations on being fully employed, having four children who are staying out of trouble.
And I do have my license.
And driver's license too now, and yes. And being a homeowner. Waterbury's a tough city, and I'm sure they appreciate another taxpayer on their rolls. It helps support and pay for the public servants who try to keep the city safe. So I'm going to have to vote for the issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gray?
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis?
Issuing authority at this time.
Ms. Johnson?
Issuing authority at this time.
Chief Rosenzweig?
Issuing authority.
And Chair Bowes, issuing authority at this time. Thank you all.